You know that this was the daily show you were taking part in now.
A daily show?
Yeah.
Do you mean this is going to go on every day, or?
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Fellow Americans.
He's been sick. I think his wife is going to bring him some chicken soup. Defend an unpopular policy every once in a while. And there's this guy from the CIA and he's creeping around Laurel Canyon.
My girl, she waited for me. She was plastic. As she can be, she paints her face with plastic glue and wrecks her hair with some shampoo.
Plastic people, oh baby, now you're such a drag.
I don't know, sometimes I just get tired of you, honey. It's your hairspray or something. I hear the sound of marching feet down Sunset Boulevard to Crescent Heights, and there at Pandora's Box, we are confronted with a vast quantity of plastic people.
Take a day and walk around. Watch the Nazis run your town. Then go home and check yourself. You think we're singing about someone else?
You're blasting people.
It's hard to talk about the slime of American television to people in this country because you can't comprehend it, you know. You don't have as many television stations. Like Los Angeles, I think, has 10 different television stations constantly pouring out the same kind of material, you know. It's almost inescapable. That's some real slime. The style and the way of dealing out the little portions of slime changes each year. Like last year, they tried an experiment which didn't really work. See, up until last year, if there was a series on television, it always came on the same night of the week and the same time, and people would sort of set their social schedule around their favorite series shows on television. And last year they tried a different approach with moving the shows around in different times of the week, thinking that would create the illusion of variety, which they're always being accused of not having. And what it did was it caused the first major drop in television viewing numbers since the history of television. The first time in since the industry started that the number of viewers watching the set actually decreased from the year before. And then they got scared, and now they're going back to the other format.
Han är otrolig liksom, hans gitarrspel, hans texter och allting. Han var väl först med, men nu har ju tiden kunnat komma ikapp på honom liksom. Men han är underbar, ingen snack om så.
Det finns ju rock'n'roll, och så finns det klassisk musik, och så finns det jazz, och så finns det Frank Zappa.
How much do you know about the different countries and cities?
Well, I care enough so that I don't break any laws, you know. I realize that when I go to somebody's country, I'm a guest in their world. You know, but other than that, it's hard for me to follow European politics or any other kind of politics. It's pretty hard to follow American politics.
What about politics back home?
Well, I think it's a write-off. I think that it's fairly obvious by now, since Richard Nixon, that there is no such thing as a fair deal for any voter in the United States. You're just not going to get it. You know, it's a joke. The people that you vote for are just the next best thing to criminals. But, of course, they have money for advertising campaigns and makes them look a little bit better than they actually are. That's why somebody like Nixon could get elected. He spent $22 million of somebody's money on a huge television advertising campaign for his presidency. And I think Carter might have spent even more.
Or have a little...
What do you learn by traveling?
You learn what hotels to stay in, what hotels to stay out of, what restaurants will make you sick, how much time you have to allow to get to the airports in different towns, what countries have the worst hospitality, things like that.
What do you learn about the people?
I don't learn very much about the people because I don't hardly see any people.
Han är så säker, Zappan. Det är så roligt att se att han har stått här.
Hur fick ni biljetter då?
Ja,
en kö då?
En kö,
hela natten?
16 timmar.
Hur klarar ni kylan?
Vi klarade på oss.
What do you expect from the audience?
Well, that they don't get in the way of the show. And other than that, they can do whatever they want with it. As long as they don't interfere with the show.
Is there any feedback?
Well, it helps if I understand that the audience, or if I feel that the audience understands what I'm saying. Because sometimes if the English comprehension isn't good, you can start talking and, you know, things that are supposed to be funny don't get any laughs, and so you have to change the show. Because, you know, you're just talking over their heads. But I think the English comprehension is pretty good here.
Jag tycker framförallt om hans gitarr och så här. Texterna är ganska läckra också, men man förstår, det är så mycket slang och så här, så man förstår inte precis vad det handlar om. Det är ingenting nästan. Jo, det gör man. Jag förstår ganska mycket, men det är så jag menar vad det är.
Are the lyrics essential?
Yeah, they're essential.
In what way?
Well, if you want to make an accurate assessment of the way the show works, you have to take into consideration the words of one song and the position of a certain song in the show versus the next song, because the two songs together mean another subject.
Is it deep with sounds?
Deep with sounds and deep sounds.
What's the story?
It deals with sounds and baby snakes.
And it's called Baby Snakes.
That's right.
Do you think that's selling enough?
What do you mean selling enough?
Well, you want people to see that movie, don't you?
Oh, the ones that'll go to see it will go to see it, and the ones that won't. You know, what am I supposed to do?
But what about
pay them to go to the movie?
No, but you pay the movie.
Huh?
you did the movie.
What I do with my art is I make it available. I do it, once I'm done with it, the next step is merchandising and distribution. Okay? I'll tell the guy who's the distributor, I think you ought to do this with it, and if he's cooperative, he'll take my suggestions. But once it's to that point, you know, you just sit there and say, the ones who are going to see it, will see it. And the ones who won't, they won't. You can't make anybody go, I'm not going to beat him over the head. There's a lot of people that would hate it. Why should I waste their time? Let them go watch Clint Eastwood.
Have you seen Clint Eastwood?
I like Clint Eastwood. I mean, he's great. I like Clint Eastwood movies. I think they're the American way.
What about sex in your concerts?
Well, I think that it's a part of the universe, and since we are also part of the universe, there's no reason why our paths shouldn't cross.
Yeah.
Just about everything I do is involved with music. Even if I'm working on a film, it's involved with music. I'm either touring, working in the studio, recording music, I'm writing music, or I'm working on a film, or I'm rehearsing. That's how I spend my year.
Do you want to change that?
I'd like to spend more time working on films and less time touring. By hearing things which are non-standard and accepting those non-standard things in the context of diatonic music, like for instance in the show we just played, we had a lot of very diatonic music. It had chord changes, it had a bass line, had a 4-4 beat, had little lyrics on it. It was very simple. And then there are other parts in there that were just out, you know, dissonant, weird, strange things. But they're coexisting. They're being shown together in the same exhibition, given equal time, equal opportunity, employer, you know, here they are. And you shouldn't be frightened of things that aren't major, minor chords. You can still derive pleasure from these things. That's part of the message of what we do. But if that leads people to so-called modern music and they go and see concerts of modern music and are disappointed by the content of that music, I don't want them to blame me. You know, because I think that a lot of what's going on in the little artistic concerts of today is boring stuff.
And most modern music maybe are in the rock and roll concerts.
Say again?
And most modern music maybe is in the rock and roll concerts.
I think there are a lot of groups working in rock and roll who are, you know, making some valid contributions to modern music.
If those people were born 30 or 40 years ago, maybe they would go
a different way?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
The same way, but rock and roll wasn't there 30, 40 years ago.
I don't think that it would have been the same. See, because one of the biggest contribution they're making is in terms of hardware usage rather than harmonic or melodic extensions of the musical history. You know, some of the best things that are happening from other groups today are ways in which synthesizers are being used and so forth, and that hardware didn't exist. Or if it did exist, it was maybe in isolated places and it was very expensive and hard to get to. I believe in the 30s there were a couple of laboratories that had synthesizer equipment, but you really, excuse me, I've just been given the notice that I've got 5 minutes to get ready for the next show.
I want to thank you, because I really appreciate this. Okay. All right. Okay, look, no. There's no way that I can show my appreciation to you. Let's not get maudlin about this. The name of this song is Dynamo Hum. 1, 2, 3, 4. People say where she's coming from, but I just met a lady named Dynamo Hum. She's really gonna come, so I got. She looked over me with a glazed eye and some bovine perspiration on her upper lip area, and she said, and here's what she said, just getting wasted, and you're halfway there. If my mind is full up, we'll make my body. I rub my chin-chin-chins in my. What sort of thing might this lady get high? But the $40 bill didn't matter no more. When her sister got naked and laid on the floor, she said, Dynamo might win the bet, but she could use a little if I wasn't done yet. I told her, just because the sun won a place in the sky, no reason to assume I wouldn't give her a try. So I pulled on her hair, got her legs in the air, and asked her if she had any cooties in there.
What do you mean, cooties? No cooties for me!
She was buns up kneeling. I was wheeling and dealing. Spread it to the feeling. Started in the schooling. Dynamo watching on the edge of the bed. The lips just twitching, the face going red. Some drool rolling down from the edge of her chin. Was a spidey condition, her sister. She quivered and quaked and clutched at herself. Her sister made a joke about her mental health until Dynamo finally did give in. But I told her all she really needed was some discipline. I said, kiss my aura, Dora. That's right. You know why? Because obviously it was real Agora. And then I said, would you all like some aura right here on the flora? And how about you wanna? Do you wanna?
Up on stage, Frank.
What?
Take me up, man.
Now that you're up on stage, what's your name?
Brian Rivera.
Are you having an okay Halloween
party? I am having an excellent time. Thank you for Greenwich, man. Greenwich, Connecticut.
All right, I'll tell you what, Brian, you know the words of this song?
Well, in a way.
Okay, here's Brian. This is your golden opportunity. This is the Frank Zappa Perform-A-Like contest. And here's what you're going to do. We're going to play the song again, and you're going to pretend you're me. And you pretend to sing the song and dance all across the stage and give these people a very good Halloween show, would you?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Work. Couldn't say where she's coming from, but I just met a lady in Dynamo Hum. Good. Stole all of us and look at Papa, got a $40 bill, said, you can't make me come. You just can't do it. She made a bit for the sister, it's a little bit dumb, she can move it anytime on me. I don't mind, she called me a bum, but I knew right away she was really gonna come. So I got down to it. I'm my thumb and a flat roll takes no sugar pump. I hope this was the wrist got numb. You know I heard some Dynamo Hum. Dynamo Hum. Dynamo. 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 The Dynamo. The Dynamo. The Dynamo again. The Dynamo. The Dynamo again. The Dynamo.
Generator. In every science fiction movie, when you go into the mad scientist laboratory, there's always that little sound effects of the Dynamo Hum in the background. And I, since I like monster movies, I kept listening to these sound effects in the mad scientist room, you know, and there's always the dynamo hum, and that's what led me to do the song. I changed the phonetics of the word and then built a story around the name.
You, Frank Zappa, et geni.
Overnight Sensation was the first album when I was actually the lead vocalist of the group. Because prior to that time, I'd been auditioning various lead vocalists all over the world, trying to get them to sing my songs. They would work out for a while and then flunk. So I said, well, I'll just do it myself. Since I don't have a very good voice or a very large range, and since I have a very narrow spectrum of interest in terms of lyric, anything. I sit here because somebody said, you're going to do a television interview? Here I am. Ask me the questions. But like I said, you ask me a question, I'll tell you what I think. And the results, you never know what it's going to be.
I'm a little pimp with my hair gas pack. Can't get past if my shoes shine black.
Why are you still making tours?
Well, I've been practicing for 14 years and I'm getting good at it now. It's just a concert. How dare you? No, it's special. There's continuity going through everything that I do. I think that a lot of what I do is based on reporting. I see something and I report on what I see based on my point of view. My point of view is not a normal point of view, and I tell people about what I see about it. They can agree with it, or they can say it's bullshit, whatever. I don't care. It's there for the ones who like it, for the ones who don't. There's millions of other groups. Yeah, I take a very cynical point of view. I think that being cynical is a positive value. I think that nobody should trust anybody else. I think that all people are assholes until proven different. And I think that if you take that point of view, you will be disappointed less in life. If you always expect the worst from people, then the minute they do something nice, it's a pleasure. If you think that people are good, then you'll always be disappointed because they're not. They don't care. You know? Don't expect friends. Don't expect fun. Don't expect a good life. Don't expect anything. And then if you get something, it's a bonus.
Rose me right.
Mystery Roach, what are we singing about?
Understanding the text isn't understanding the music, or understanding the reasons for saying those words or playing that music, you know. English people don't get the idea of what we're doing.
Is your stage act influenced by this circumstance that the people don't understand the text?
Yeah, it is, especially when we're playing in places where there's very little English spoken. Because I don't think that it's fair to the audience to sit there and, you know, like for some of the songs, there's long stories that you have to tell before you play the song. So I just leave them out because the audience won't understand it. It won't help the song any.
There's one thing which is quite interesting. In the beginning, you were often criticizing the so-called American way of life. And years later, then more and more in your songs, was one theme very important, was sexuality. How come?
Well, first of all, the original criticisms of the American way of life still stand true. Not only that, the records are still available. And only a moron repeats himself for the rest of his life. The stuff that I said on the first albums is still true. And they're still available. You want to hear that stuff? Go listen to those records. Somebody has to talk about sexuality. The rest of the people just talk around it. You know? I'm here to provide that service. To talk about the things that other people don't want to talk about. Dental floss. Anything. Except for the fact they couldn't understand what I was talking about, what more could a person ask?
That's a problem almost at every place in Europe, isn't it?
Every place in the world.
Every America as well.
Yeah. They have trouble with the words in the United States, too. I mean, as soon as you get words of more than two syllables, you're in a lot of trouble there.
And therefore that the singing is very quick. Is this the reason?
Yeah, just get it over with, you know. Americans don't like to sit still for instrumental music, see? So you sing a little bit, and then they think they heard a song, and then you play. Of course, it's getting more like that over here, too.
Do you know what I'm really telling you? Is it something that you can understand? Do you know what I'm really telling you? Is it something that you can understand?
Do you know what I'm really telling you? Is it something that you can understand? Do you know what I'm really telling you? Is it something that you can understand?
Yeah, but there's other kinds of music around here, too. You just don't get to hear it. You know, the government caters too much to the tourist trade. They keep selling you Mozart till you want to die. Stick Mozart's face on everything. You got them on little candies. They probably got Mozart toilet paper here, don't they? Yeah? Take that son of a bitch and just make a buck off of that poor guy with a white wig. His parents abused him, trotted him all over Europe when he was a kid. Never gave him any time to have a bit of personal fun. These prodigies wind up in a little candy like that and give it to you on an airplane. It's the first thing you hear about when you get here. Hey, Mozart land. He slept here. You must have some people here who are still alive and writing music. What do they do about those people? Nothing? They all work in the gas station? Well, see, you're just like America. They have composers in America, too. You don't do anything with them, either. Except in the United States, you can write a jingle for Pepsi-Cola and make a living. As if Mozart himself had ruled this one.
What are you fed up with, or what are you criticizing?
I don't think you have to be discontent in order to be cynical, and I think that being cynical is the best way to be.
Well, what do you think about the music business? You're often criticizing it in your songs in a cynical way. What do you think about it?
Well, it's stupid.
And why?
It's a stupid business. You know, rock and roll is all make-believe. It's all fake.
And why are you into music business if you think it's stupid?
Well, I'm a musician. It just so happens that in order to ply my trade, I have to do business with business people. If I was a music businessman who sat at a desk, maybe you'd have something to talk about. But I'm a composer. And in order to earn a living from what I do, I have to go out, I have to tour, I have to make records, and when I do that, I have to do business with people that I don't like.
And are there any difficulties with the record companies? I mean, you had some trouble.
I still have some,
Warner,
yes.
Warner Brothers.
Yeah, what still was have it? Trouble with Warner. They didn't pay me.
What didn't they pay? Or?
They didn't pay me the money they owed me for 4 albums that I delivered to them.
And now you're not with Warner Brothers anymore?
No. They breached their contract, and there's a large lawsuit coming up about this.
What do you think is the reason that Warner Brothers didn't pay you?
They're a bunch of assholes, of course.
Beautiful. God, it's God, I say God.
Do you like the Schubert?
Yeah. I'm a very romantic person, are you kidding?
Thank you.
record sales or what they are.
You understand? Care about it.
Whatever they are is what they are, okay? And the sales factor has more to do with the work of the record company than with what's on the record. As you can tell, there have been many records that don't have good music on them that sold a lot. Not because people really liked what was on the record, but because the guys in the company said, we're going to make this a hit, you know, so they make it a hit. You get exposed to it, and then it becomes a hit. They don't do that for my record, so I doubt if there's ever going to be, you know, millions of units sold. On one song, on the We're Only In It For The Money album, there was a line that said, I still remember Mama with her apron and her pad feeding all the boys at Ed's Cafe. And the people at MGM Records cut that off of the record. You know why? I mean, does that make any sense to you? Why should they censor that line?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Did they say you why?
3 years later, I found out why. Because an executive at that company thought that the pad was a pad that goes there, you know? And they couldn't imagine this waitress walking around with an apron and a pad feeding the boys at Ed's Cafe. That shows you how twisted the minds are of some of these people in the record company.
That was not what you were wanted to explain to me.
No, folks, it was not a Damen Binden.
I still remember Mama with her apron and her pad feeding all the boys at Ed's Cafe.
People will always make music. Musicians will always make music. However, the people who make records are not always musicians. You know, sometimes they're just plain show people. Or in the case of some of the punk groups, they're guys off the street that were gathered together by a boutique owner. You know? The fact of the matter is that advertised properly, people will buy anything. See? And now that the lesson of punk has been learned, that you can sell anything to anybody, there's no telling what the next trend will be. Movements are always the same. You get some windbag who wants to say his philosophy and he tries to make other people believe in it. And there's always going to be some people who want to believe in it and they go along with a movement and eventually the movement falls apart. The people who believed in it turn out to be fools. The people who led the movement turn out to be fools. Another movement comes along, another fool stands up, some more fools follow him. You know, it keeps going. Movements suck. They're stupid.
So what are you believing in?
I said, music.
Thank you.
Don't you think that there is a change in your person now from the late 60s to now? I mean, now today at the airport, you were taking a very big car, Cadillac or something, and you were going to the hotel now. I don't suppose that you did this in the very beginning. Is that any change of your personality?
Yeah, now I can afford to do it. And I would have done it then if I had the money to do it. You think somebody gives me a Cadillac? No. I pay for it.
Well, isn't that more or less egocentric, just to think about what you get out of it, of the music?
Aim this camera at this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, here is a classic example of a jerk for an interviewer. Why is that egocentric to have a car that's comfortable to take you from the airport to hotel?
Just ask him. I mean...
You and your movement questions. You like movements?
Well,
do you like Cadillacs?
No.
Do you like being comfortable? Why don't you like Cadillacs?
I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's
But wait a minute. Suppose somebody gave you a Cadillac. Would you like it? Do you people want a Cadillac?
I don't need one.
I don't need one either, but that's there. Why not ride in the Cadillac?
Just what I wanted to express is that I suppose that you're criticizing something in your songs, mm-hmm. and you're also criticizing the American way of life.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, mm-hmm. something like a Cadillac is fits together with this American way of life.
Well, suppose I would have gotten the Mercedes instead of the Cadillac. What would you say?
No, that's not different. I mean...
But it would have been, because then the Mercedes, is that part of the American way of life? I got in the wrong car, right?
No, I mean something else. I mean that a car can be something just to show people I got money, or it can be something just to get from one place to the other.
Well, for me, it gets me from one place to another.
And you don't care what's it all about?
So long as I'm warm, so long as I'm comfortable, so long as the car is safe and the guy that's driving and knows where he's going, it's okay. And if I had to choose between riding in a car this big with a draft coming in the window and riding in the Cadillac, I'll get in the Cadillac because I'm not crazy.
In the dark, where all the fevers grow, under the water, where the shark bubbles blow.
You get down there, look at the grill of the Cadillac, show how long and beautiful this car is. Now you have to be just in there having ecstasy about how great this, just rubbing the upholstery, you know, and just, it's really, you know. But, you know, rub everything in the car. You might even rub the driver a little bit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Rudy has a sound running. Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very important for you to watch because Rudy is now inside the Cadillac. He has been, let's just say, possessed by the Cadillac. We can't get him out. He's in there with his girlfriend. We don't know how this is going to turn out. We have to urge him to leave the car. What's the matter? What is it? Is there something wrong with the camera? Come here, look at this. This horrible spectacle.
Okay, we're gonna do it. Come on, Rudy,
no,
Rudy,
please let me in there.
Come on.
It was so fantastic, please, no.
No, Rudy.
No.
It's better for you to come out. Rudy, come out. We're gonna put you in a small car. You'll really like it. Rudy, get him out. Take him out of that car. Put him in a small, uncomfortable car.
Rudy, no.
Isabel, maybe you can explain it to him.
He's got to take her out.
She likes it too. Well, you see what happens when you get an Austrian in one of these things? They go absolutely apeshit. In this scene, Rudy is trying to recover from his Austrian Cadillac extravaganza. Little does Rudy know that we in America have a great tradition. Along with the ride in the Cadillac, when you have a birthday, you have to be spanked one time for each year of your miserable life. And tonight, Rudy is going to be pummeled, brutally attacked by John Smothers, who needs a little bit of a haircut. Now, Rudy, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts him.
It hurt me more than it's going to hurt you.
Cadillac!
Hoorah!
Cadillac!
Hoorah!
Cadillac!
Hoorah!
Cadillac!
No!
Hoorah!
Cadillac!
No!
Cadillac!
No!
And this is the kind of stuff that cheap movies are really made out of. Take two.
Well, then Fido got up off the floor and he rolled over and he looked me straight in the eye. And you know what he said?
Rolls-Royce.
Well, that's different.
It's not that much different. You see, a Rolls-Royce and a Cadillac, they represent the same thing. It's like rich people riding in big cars. Now, you have to tell them again about how fun it is to ride in shitty little uncomfortable cars. You don't want him to be miserable for the rest of his little Austrian life, do you? Talk to the boy. Even though he's unconscious, it will register. He's 20 years old now. He can make up his own mind, but you have to help him. Give him discipline. You can give him some discipline. You can give him some... You can... You have to be practical about what you're doing. Figure that the primary desire of a person coming to a concert is entertainment. That person wants to experience an entertaining, pleasurable sensation from the concert. That doesn't mean we're always going to give them that. But that's what they want when they come in. So that's, you have to accept that as a fact at the moment that you address the audience.
Okay, look. No. There's no way that I can show my appreciation to you. But let's not get maudlin about this. The name of this song is Dynamo Hum. 1, 2, 3, 4. Could say where she's coming from, but I just met a lady named Dynamo Hum. Hold on over, said, look at Bob, I got a $40 bill, said, you can't make me come. No way, you just can't do it. She made a bet for the sister, who's a little bit dumb, she can put it any time on mental scum. I don't mind that she called me a bum, but I knew right away she was really gonna come. So I got down to it. Whipped up a little bit, I'm stiffing my thumb, and a flat rotation, it was fun. I poked and stroked, the wrist got numb, still didn't hear no dynamo, huh? Brian, you know the words to this song?
Well, get away.
Okay, here's Brian.
tonight, this is your golden opportunity. This is the Frank Zappa Perform the Light Contest. Now here's what you're going to do. We're going to play the song again, and you're going to pretend you're me. And you pretend to sing the song and dance all across the stage and give these people a very good Halloween show, would you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, ready? Work, work. Couldn't say where she's coming from, but I just met a lady and I know her. Great. Stole all of them, said, look at Mom, I gotta put it out of the business. You can't make it come. You just can't do it. She made a bit for the sex, she was a little bit dumb. She can do it anytime on me. I don't mind, just call me a bum. I knew right away she was really gonna want to come. So I got down to it. I poked and swooped and her wrist got numb. You know I heard some dynamo, huh? Dynamo, huh? Dynamo, 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 dynamo again.
Concert generally, when we perform on the road during the afternoon before the show, we'll go in and set up our equipment and have a rehearsal to make sure that the sound is okay in the hall. In this case, we happen to be working in the Sport Palace, which has a rather dubious reputation, seeing as how in that very place stood Hitler and a couple of other grotesque folks a few years ago, leading these giant political rallies. So here we were setting up our rock and roll band in the auditorium when I'm informed by a photographer that some of what he described as student leaders wanted to see me out in the lobby. So I went out and spoke with them. Now, I was later told that these are not any of the official SDS student leaders, but they happen to be young members of some very radical part of this organization that were trying to make a reputation for themselves as leaders. And they asked me whether or not I would be interested in cooperating with them on a program they had in mind that night, something that would liven the social scene in Berlin quite a bit. What they planned to do was go to the Allied Command Center and burn it down, and they asked me to invite all members of the audience to go along with them and help them commit this bizarre atrocity. And I said, no, I don't think that is good mental health, and I won't help you. And they were very upset about this, so they went away, and by the time the show started that night, they were out in the crowd with some air horns and about 20 agitators, and the minute we started playing, they got up and started marching around and shouting Ho Chi Minh and blowing these horns and pretending that they were having. And the next thing I knew, they started throwing things up on the stage. They brought some vegetables. They were throwing cucumbers and tomatoes and eggs and firecrackers and just making a mess out of everything. And so we came back on stage, and here are all these people standing all over our equipment. So we had to make them go away. And we finally got them off the stage, and they went back into the audience. very tamely, because there's a certain thing about the German mentality. It seems that they're very good at following orders. And they got off the stage and went back and sat down, and we played the second half of the program with very few incidents. They threw a few firecrackers and made a little bit more noise and started calling us the mothers of reaction because we didn't agree with their revolutionary point of view. And then at the closing of the program, we're in the middle of a song, and I reduced the volume of the group, and I was about to say goodnight when one of the so-called student leaders comes running up onto the stage with a nice red scarf around his neck, symbolic of some sort of radical tendencies, and lunges for the microphone and starts raving something in German. I didn't know what the fuck he was saying, but I wasn't going to let him babble, so we turned the volume on everything all the way up and drowned him out and just started playing nothing but feedback, fuzz tone, screech, and ugliness as the audience stood there in amazement, wondering what to do. And then one by one, Herbie and a few of the other members of the Ways and Means Committee started unplugging instruments and carrying them off stage as the crowd starts filing onto the stage again, all of them raving to have a political discussion. It seems that all over Germany they would rather have political discussions than listen to music.
Dat was Frank Zappa over zijn Berlijnse avontuur. Hierna hoort u hem vertellen hoe de revolutie volgens hem beslist niet gemaakt moet worden. Op straat lopen met vlaggen en agenten schrijven is kinderachtig, ouderwets en onverstandig. En als dit soort revolutionaire teenagers het bewind zouden overnemen, zou er absoluut niets ten goede veranderen. Zoals bekend stelt Zappa als alternatieve methode het infiltreren van de communicatiemedia en de grammofoonplatenindustrie voor.
I've talked with some of the people in Germany especially, where they keep showing me pictures. Here's me getting hit by a policeman, you know? Like, okay, so if that's what you like, you know, I'd hit you in the head with a stick if it'd make you happy, but why do you have to go out there? You know, that's not the way to change the establishment. And I think that the methods, although I will agree with most of the reasons, and realize that most of the problems that these people face need to be changed, I think their methodology is fucked. And I think that it's juvenile. I think that it's old-fashioned. I think it relies too heavily on slogans. And I think it's blind and unthinking, and it's not creative, and it offers the mass, who are supposedly going to be the beneficiaries of this revolution, absolutely nothing better than what they have now. I think that if the so-called revolutionaries of today that are functioning in all the world's teenage hotspots were to win their little revolution and take things over and start running their own government or whatever it is they're going to set up, things would not be any better because they don't know what they're doing.
You folks, you in particular, I'm guessing, Frank, have quite a following here in the audience, and we're very pleased to have you here. Let me ask, I know you get tired probably discussing your family's sons and daughters' names and so forth, but originally you named Moon Unit, right?
Right.
And now you've dropped the unit?
No, I've kept
it's
the unit.
Still on the brush tip.
Yeah. Still on, and what exactly was going through your mind when you named her Moon Unit?
Well, actually it was a choice between that or Motorhead. I told you.
It was now... Now, I saw your son, or one of your sons, on the Today Show this morning, and his name is...
Dweezil.
Dweezil. Now, these are... well, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but these are peculiar names for children.
I don't think so.
has it been a problem for you, Moon, being known as Moon Unit?
No, not really. When I was little, I wanted to change my name to Beauty Heart or Mary, but I think that I like my name.
Yeah. And what about the names of the other?
Dweezil, Amit, and Diva.
Yeah, Amit and Diva. Now, I know I was reading that Amit actually wanted to change his name for a time, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, to what?
Rick.
Rick.
People called him Amit. When people called him Amit, they called him Amit Vomit. And then when he changed his name to Rick, they called him Rick. So he changed it back again.
But actually, you know, they should just call him Amit.
Because as he matures, I'm sure that that's what will stick with him.
You get the sense that all hell has broken loose here, and
quite a bit of heck, perhaps.
Yes. Now, tell me about your father as a father. I mean, he is a musical and sociological phenomenon, and a legend, and a little strange, or at least he used to present himself that way. What was he, or what is he like around the house? And
well, you know, the usual sadomasochism. No, he's a normal guy. I mean, really.
Now, what about when you bring friends?
That's interested now, huh?
when you bring friends over to the house, how old are you? Do you mind?
14.
14. So, will you bring boys home to meet your dad? Is that strange or not?
Yes, I bring them home, and Frank looks at them, shakes their hand, asks them questions, and, you know, if they're okay, you know, it's all right.
And what constitutes okay for you? Have you, I mean, anybody not make the cut?
Well, she had a guy over the other day that I didn't like too much.
Yeah. I didn't like him either.
No. Well, I wouldn't want to embarrass him by
singling
him. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But that's the only one that she's brought to the house that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And only because he was like a wise guy type.
Kind of a, yeah, smart mouth.
A nerd.
A nerd. Now this collaboration between the two of you, have you ever worked together before on a project?
Yeah, on the last album.
And that was the one before the single that's so popular now?
That's right.
Yeah, and do you want to be a singer, Moon?
No. I want to be an actress. I'm looking at scripts now. I can sing if it's necessary. I'd like to do a musical or a Hawaiian Punch commercial or perhaps
me too. How about you?
Perhaps be an Encino housewife.
Uh-huh. So these are all lofty ambitions, and we're going to take a pause here, and I'm not sure why exactly, but we'll be back to talk with Mr. Frank Zappa and his daughter. Back to the show. This is the most recent Frank Zappa album, Ship Arriving Too Late to Save a Drowning Witch, from which Valley Girls is taken, or is on, or whatever they say when it's included in the album. Explain to us again, you must be tired of this explanation, but tell us about how this came to be. Either one of you. This is a toss-up question for 20 points.
Oh, wow. I was qualified for the job, and you know, I've been to parties, bar mitzvahs. I know what I'm doing. So
now, by qualified for the job, you mean this song is about your peer group, right? Essentially.
Well, anybody who knows what the Valley's about, and
you've been there.
I have been to the Santa Ana
Valley. And experiences it, and can let others experience it as well.
Uh-huh. And what
that's
is it about?
Share with the world.
Yeah. What in your estimation, what is the Valley about, Frank?
Well, you see, I don't want to break the hearts of a lot of people who really like this record, because I hate the San Fernando Valley. I mean, it's perhaps one of the most disgusting places on the face of the earth, and I wrote this song about the values of the people in the San Fernando Valley. But it turned out to be cute, and so everybody thinks it's cute. Okay, it's a nice cute record.
Now, for people who may not know what, if you could just talk like these people talk, do you mind? Or
sell them some real estate.
Well, like, okay, take this house over here, for example. You notice it's got like a little picket fence. It's so cute. There's like vines growing over everything. I don't know what the flowers are called, but like, they're so awesome.
So it's just airheads, is what you're saying. Yeah. And what I read about the record, you got her out of bed at midnight and said, "Come down here." And you did you just ad lib what's on the record, or?
Yes.
Yeah. And the results have been overwhelming, successfully for you folks.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculously so. Now, when you were in your earlier stages of your career, you did some, as far as public appearances, you did some interesting things, audience participation,
Yep. That's right.
You got Marines out of the audience and on stage?
Yes. Which is a good place for Marines.
Once you get them on stage, what do you do with them?
Well, you're talking about something that happened in 1967 at the Garrick Theater in the middle of the Vietnam War. And what happened was there had been a murder in the village. And I think a Marine had been killed, and somebody had spread this rumor that the hippies had done it. So all the Marines were coming into the village, the rumor had it, to murder people with long hair. Remember when all that stuff was popular to do? And so we were rehearsing one day, and these three Marines came in full dress uniform in the afternoon. And I figured, well, if this was the hit squad, they wouldn't be dressed up. And they were just fans.
Yeah.
And they were hanging out for a while, and we talked to them after the rehearsal and asked them if they knew any good songs and if they wanted to come on the stage. So they said that they knew House of the Rising Sun and Everybody Must Get Stoned. So I said, well, that's really good. We'll warm up. We'll learn the songs. And you go across the street to the Tin Angel and get drunk and come back when the show starts. So they did. And when they came back, they sang the two songs. And then I said to the audience, well, let's hear it for the United States Marines. And we got this large doll of a child and said, how would you like to show these people what you would do with this in your normal daily work? And they ripped it apart on stage with musical accompaniment. And then after they had finished that, I showed the pieces of the broken doll to the audience. There was a lot of people crying out there.
Yeah. So, that's...
Well, there's a reason for doing things like that, and by the time the media gets a hold of it and people try and explain it over and over again, it turns out to sound like something weird to do, but...
It still sounds like something... Well, no, in the context of the times, I understand it, but and for instance...
It was pretty sick back then, wasn't it?
now, another time, you actually got yourself kind of roughed up in London, right?
Yeah, I was attacked by a crazy person.
And the crazy person was unhappy with you or just crazy?
Well, who knows about crazy people?
Yeah, that's true.
For sure.
Yeah, it was...
But I spent a couple of months in the hospital and a year in a wheelchair, and that was not too fun.
Yeah. And you never found out what the motive for this was?
Well, he told two different stories when they caught him. The first story he told was... what happened was, I was working in a theater that had an orchestra pit 15 feet deep with a concrete floor in the bottom, and they didn't have it covered over. And the security guards that were hired by the theater were off to the side smoking some marijuana at the end of the show just as we were doing the encore, so they weren't paying attention. And this guy came out of the audience and he knocked me into the orchestra pit.
Yeah.
So he told the press that I had been making eyes at his girlfriend and he was jealous. That was one story. I couldn't even see him or I don't even know what the guy looks like today. I didn't see him or his girlfriend because the lights were in my eyes. And then after that, he said, well, we weren't giving him enough value for his ticket dollar.
Uh-huh.
That was the second story that he gave.
For his entertainment dollar. See, Moon, your father has had a very difficult life, and we're going to pause. Again, we'll return to talk more about this with Frank and his daughter, Moon. Hi there. Welcome back to the show. Frank Zappa and his daughter, Moon Zappa, are here. I wanted to ask you about your friends in the Valley. How do they react to your success by introducing them to the world?
Well, most of my friends don't speak Valley. They prefer to speak English. But those that I imitated are flattered, because if there's one thing Valley girls love, it's attention. And,
you're making a lot of money on this, I hope, huh? And Frank, it was a pleasure meeting you. I've been an admirer of yours for many, many years, and I know you wanted to get a greeting for someone here.
Yeah, ready?
Happy birthday, George.
And George? George has quite a following of his own, apparently.
That's right. George is a cool guy. He was there when it was all happening.
And George will be...
75.
Well, again, and for me, George, happy birthday, too. Look for the UPS truck coming by with a lovely gift. Thank you very much, folks. I know you're very busy. I appreciate you being here. Frank, Moon, nice meeting you. Thank you very much.
No, I didn't know that.
When you quit the Mothers, who are you going to join?
I may join the birds, too. I wanted to get into a very serious area that, of course, appeals to me as Frank Zappa, sometimes thought of as creative genius, especially in the area concerning your monkeys' music, which appears to me to be banal and insipid, you know?
You think that our music, the monkeys' music, is banal and insipid?
Well, words like that are hard to read, mm-hmm. especially side by side.
Have you ever tried reading Mike and Frank?
I wanted to know where the soul of your music was. Is it on the 1 and the 7? Or is it on the 1 and the 5?
The soul of your music is on the 1 and the 7, sometimes on the 3 and the 5. The soul of our music, the monkeys' music, lies somewhere in between the 1 and a half, the 2 and a half, the 3 and 3 quarters, and the giant C major chord on the piano.
Okay.
Which I'll demonstrate for you. We have wonderful music. Match cut. Here we go. We turn over and we all take our positions in front of the camera. Because this is the monkeys and we're really tricky. Tell me, Frank Zappa, I've always wanted to have you show me how to conduct, because I heard you were really spiffy at it.
Will you follow me?
Come on, you're on television. I'm just one of these unpopular musicians. Teach me.
It's the other way around. You're a popular musician. I'm dirty, gross, and ugly. Well, I'll tell you, Mike, before we get too involved with the piano, let's whip over to the car, and I'll teach you how to play a car. Watch this.